You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. We're building
from the inside out. This is Lee Local, your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
Well, welcome, everyone, to another episode of Lean Local. So this is the show where we do what we say in the title. We lean local into the community here to see kind of what makes Greater Green Bay tick. And, you know, today we're talking about part of the local economy people sometimes they underestimate. A local storefront can be more than a place to buy things. It can be the first real platform a small maker has to become a business. We've got a great guest here. Very interesting. I've been reading about her, some questions I put together. But my guest is Andrea Fanta, right? Fanta?
It depends who you ask. I say Fanta because it rhymes with Santa.
All right. Santa it is.
There we go.
Owner of Soul Purpose at Bay Park Square. And she's built a business centered around supporting local artists, local makers, and small businesses, while also creating an online support community called Mommy AF. We're going to get to that a little bit later.
Sure. But
you launched Soul Purpose to help local creators and entrepreneurs gain exposure in retail space, which is a very cool concept. Before we get into that, tell me, who is Andrea Fanta besides the business owner title? Tell me.
I'm a mom, a wife, and just a all-around busybody, I think. So I love being part of the community and kind of getting involved and helping people, giving back wherever we can. So my family definitely gets involved with that too.
You born and raised? Are you local talent?
Yep, born and raised here.
Excuse me. So what inspired you to create Soul Purpose?
So it's funny because you mentioned we'll talk about Mommy AF later, but it actually kind of developed from that.
Well, you can jump ahead. Yeah. I'm the interviewer, but
sure.
Go ahead, jump ahead.
Yeah. So back, I think it was 2019, which feels like a long time ago already, my family was going through some stuff and I didn't really have a support system. And so I created the online community, the Mommy AF group, before Soul Purpose, before COVID even. And it kind of became an online community of people connecting, creating friendships, business collaborations forming from that. I was doing real estate at the time, and I had an office, and I decided I was ready to shut down my real estate career. It just wasn't fulfilling me, and I wanted to do more within the community. And so we used the storefront that we had left where our real estate office was. We had about a year and a half left on our lease.
Uh-huh.
And so we utilized the Mommy AF group to find some local business owners who were looking for a place to sell their creations.
Interesting. So did you charge them when they said, look, I've got a creation, I'm doing this on my kitchen table, or I'm doing this?
Yeah.
And how did you make that connection?
Yeah. So we obviously, you know, when you're paying rent in a space, you can't just bring people in and hope that their stuff sells and covers your costs, right? So we kind of put together a business plan, like you pay us this much per month and then this percentage to help us cover our costs and we'll help promote your stuff. And at first we were like, are people really willing to pay for that? But they were. They were lining up. So we're like, okay, this is catching on. This is a good idea.
What were some of the things, the initial products that people came in with?
We had all kinds of stuff. So there's a lady who does stained glass, someone who makes her own like body lotions and soaps, just all kinds of fidgety toys and 3D printed stuff, cups and clothes and...
So let me get this straight. I'm not the techiest guy that anybody in this room will tell you. But so you invited them to display their things. And then how does the ordering, shipping, is it all just back to them? And did you ever handle the product or were you just totally a marketing company?
So they bring the product into the store.
Oh, you did that. Wow.
Yep, physical store. So they bring it in. We have an inventory system. So we make sure once they leave the stuff with us, we're taking responsibility for it.
Right.
And covered by insurance. So yeah, it's a whole, it's like Etsy in real life. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So the Mommy AF, which was more of a discussion group, and that morphed into a product group?
Yeah, definitely more of like a mom's community.
Right.
Like you've got my kid needs help with potty training or whatever, post those things there. But we knew, so we would do like on Mondays, we'd do a post called Mom Boss Monday where people could promote their small businesses. So then we would go to those posts and be like, we're opening a storefront. Are you interested in selling your stuff? So kind of the mom's group is still mostly for just mom stuff.
Yeah.
But then we use it for to kind of feed the business stuff too and help those business owners grow a little.
So there's risk in that. There's a lot of moving parts in that.
Yes.
Was there, like, you're an entrepreneur in my eyes, and I think in your eyes too,
yeah.
right? I mean, you take the risk and you're creative. And
yeah.
I love the entrepreneur. Were you always like that when you were a kid, or was there a defining moment when you're like, look, you were in the real estate business, which is kind of entrepreneurial, but kind of can be a little bit corporate depending where you work. But tell me about the entrepreneurial spirit. I believe in that. And I'm afraid it's not as strong as it used to be, but
sure.
I hope I'm wrong on that.
Yeah. So as a kid, I struggled in school. I was undiagnosed ADHD. And so I could never find my way. Like, I didn't get great grades. I wasn't good at math. So I knew I didn't, college wasn't going to be for me. And so I got out of school. I'm like, what do I want to do? I ended up having kids at a young age. And so there was a lot of struggle there. And I wanted to be home with them. So I'm like, okay, I definitely did the jobs where I worked in an office to pay the bills and get that stuff done. But when I got married and we got pregnant with our last two, I don't want to be away from my kids all the time. We've got to find a way to make this work. And so we ended up, fast forward now, our kids, we homeschool the oldest two, so they're at the shop with us working sometimes or just hanging out with customers. I haven't always been an entrepreneur, I would say, but I've always been creative and I've always found a way to connect people. People ask me what my art is because I own an art store and I say that my art is creating community.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great art. So you made those decisions on your own to say, look, I want to be home with my kids. I really don't have the mindset to be a corporate person, if I can say that. But
yeah.
Did you have any fears? You seem pretty strong.
I am pretty strong. It's definitely scary to take that leap and to do things like that. But I also think that it's scary to stay exactly where you are.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that people are afraid of change sometimes. And so that's why they don't take risks. And I like to live my life in a way where I don't have regrets. And I could sit and think about starting a business and what that could look like for my family and never do it. And I would have regrets then because I didn't do it, so I can do it and we can maybe run it into the ground and we go broke, but we tried it. So,
yeah, I don't think that's going to happen to you. So your business now, I just want to give our listeners. So right now, tell me about your business today. I'm going to go back, but
yeah.
Tell me about your business today. We walk in, you're in Bay Park Square.
Yeah.
You've got, what'd you say, almost 100?
About 100 local businesses.
That bring their product in, they make it at home, stained glass. Do you have any food items or is it all?
We have Mr. Burns hot sauce and some
that's cool.
Seasonings, freeze-dried candy.
All right.
Yeah.
So they bring that in. I'm making the stuff at home. I need distribution. I can't really get into festival, but
yep.
I need a place or JCPenney or whatever.
Yeah.
They come to you. And then they pay you and you sell their stuff and pay them a commission. 100 vendors, that's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot of personalities.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's your store in terms of you manage it. You have to keep up. What are your hours? And then
We're open anytime the mall is open, which can be a challenge because when it's hot in the summer, there's not a lot of people shopping in the mall, but
right.
we still have to be there. But yeah, so we're there Monday through Thursday, 10 to 8, Friday, Saturday, 10 to 9, and then Sundays, 11 to 6.
Well, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah. And I do have the last few weeks. So my family's in the process of preparing to move across the country by the end of the year. So I've got a store manager there who is kind of running the show right now and will be taking over when we go. So that's a whole different adventure.
You're leaving your 100 vendor store in someone else's hands?
Yes. We'll probably not be connected to it anymore. We're probably going to end up passing ownership.
And how long has it gone from when you had the real estate business to building this, retail store with 100 vendors?
We opened April 1st of 2021. So we've been...
So that's 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice. And you're obviously making money. You're paying the bills. It's not cheap rent over there.
Yeah, it's not cheap rent. It's not really. It wasn't designed to be a moneymaker. It was a passion project. But, enough to break even at least to make sure you can keep the lights on.
So, yeah.
Yep.
When people say it's not really a moneymaker. Yeah, it is. I mean, we'd really do it if it wasn't. So I want to just touch on the entrepreneur thing. Then we're going to move on. I got some other things I want to talk to you about, the whole Facebook connection, all that stuff. But before I do, I want to stick with the entrepreneur for a little while. Do you think the entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well?
I think people are discouraged because things are expensive, and that makes it hard to be an entrepreneur. But I do think the spirit is still there, alive and well.
But, okay, but something inhibits that would be it's expensive to become an entrepreneur.
It is,
yeah. It's expensive to do anything, really.
Absolutely.
Today. I mean, today's just,
right.
I was talking to somebody at breakfast with somebody this morning looking for housing, and I feel sorry for them. They're middle class, they're young professionals, and it ain't going to happen for a while for them. I mean, something's got to give a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
We have some other ideas for them. But people who succeed in small business and people who don't, and believe me, there's plenty of both, do you have a network of support for small businesses? Like, are you a member of... I get the whole mother's thing, and you got all these little entrepreneurs working out of their homes, and you're their distribution point. But do you have somebody that you can bounce things off of saying, look, these people are driving me nuts, or what am I going to do about the utility bills are crazy. It's eating me alive here. Do you have somebody that you can bounce things off of? Personnel things, especially.
Sure. Yeah. There's a couple of local business owners who have just been running small shops also that we have kind of a group chat that once in a while it's like, hey, I just ran into this issue. Have you run into this before? Or things like that. But really, I have found that a lot of people like to keep their secrets close to their chest. There's a lot of networking groups and stuff like that, and I've been to meetings with them, but a lot of people are just looking for ways where they can make more money, not necessarily collaborate and support other small businesses. So we're always looking for ways to build more groups like that.
And that's true, because everybody's a little bit paranoid and
you're going to steal my idea.
Exactly.
Or
it's your secret. So I was in paper converting. And we had a group, but there was another guy that was in dry cleaning, another guy that was in insurance. So we had there was nothing competitive.
No competitive
about us. And we made that very clear because especially in the converting business, there's a lot of secrets that you do to make, and you don't want to share. But anyway, it was nice to have. I just hearken back. I think back to that, and I think that support group really helped me a lot. I could tell them when I'm paying for rent and they weren't in the same business. They'd say, that's crazy, or you should do that, or buy the building or not buy the building, that kind of stuff. So it's nice to have that as you go on here. But do you think, and you kind of addressed this a little bit, but entrepreneurship, you think it's been harder or easier, but a little bit harder because the cost of entry now is more
difficult. Definitely, yeah. To start a business, you've got to have a product, right, if you're going to sell something. And so you have to buy materials, and you have to have a way to make sure people know about it and market your stuff. So it's everything costs a little bit of money.
And I think one of the reasons that people are in with you is because of the overhead cost. I mean, if 100 of those people had storefronts, they'd all have 100 electricity bills and 100, rents, and they can maybe work with you and make that more efficient.
Exactly.
Is there something people misunderstand about small business, do you think?
I think people definitely think that most small business owners are just greedy corporate people. We get that all the time. People come in and are like, so you're just making money off of all these small businesses? I'm like, well, not really, but not much money at all. But I think it's providing a space for them that people just don't quite understand.
And I think sometimes people think that small businesses are making more money than they are. Because it's
definitely
hard. Yes.
And even, the people in the store, they bring us their product. They pay a monthly fee. They pay a percentage. So they have to make sure that it makes sense for them, too.
Right. All right. We're going to talk about that. But I really want to get into the whole Human Connection Society, which you did through Facebook. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to Lean Local. I'm talking with Andrea Fanta, rhymes with Santa, about what it really takes for small makers and for local businesses to grow. And what she does is, it's very unique, but very necessary. There are a lot of small vendors working out of their homes, their garages, and they need a place to display their products and to showcase, and they can't really all afford to have their own retail space. So they collectively work with Andre, and she has a space at Bay Park Square Mall called Soul Purpose, cool name, and you can go in there and take a look at these homegrown, if you will, right? Yeah. I mean, it's local talent. And you have these products there, and you can shop there. You're open the same hours as the mall. Your business, unlike some traditional businesses where, you know, we do research, we test the product, and it's all this, as they say, belly-to-belly selling, knocking on doors, getting rejected.
Yeah.
Yours was built really around social media.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you built this large online community with Mommy AF. You have two businesses. And just for the listeners, if you're just joining us, Mommy AF is more of a support group for mothers on anything from like, I don't know, do you talk about us? Do you talk about husbands on there?
Oh, yeah. That's like the main talking point.
I figured that'd be good, pretty good material. But, you know, if your kid's acting out, you know, how do I handle this thing? And that is very, very active, right?
I mean,
you have a lot of people who tap into that. And then you have this, I can also help you sell product if you're working out of your home and at this distribution point. So, but you built this large community. And what did Facebook, like, allow you to find that maybe you weren't finding somewhere else?
I think the nice, now, keyboard warriors exist, right, on the internet. There's the person behind the keyboard who's saying all the negative stuff. But there's a lot of people out there who I think have really positive things to offer, and they don't necessarily put it out there unless they're prompted. And so that's one thing that I've noticed with the groups a lot, is that people are willing to share their advice more than, like, it's like they just needed somebody to share it with. You know, maybe they didn't have somebody in their life. So it's really cool seeing, like, this group community of people just keep growing because somebody's like, oh, I posted this here and I got a lot of helpful responses. I'm going to invite my friends to this group.
Yeah.
So then it just keeps growing, and then you just have more resources when you need help.
The people who post things, are they real? I mean, do you do any vetting, and you're a real person?
Yeah.
Because there's some crazy people.
Oh, there are.
There.
And obviously it's the internet, so there's no way to know for sure. So I have about 20 different people who help me go through all of like the member requests. So people have to answer questions before they can join the group. And we put like trick questions in there because if they're a bot, they'll get tripped up and they won't know how to answer it. So there's all kinds of things that you can do to kind of block it to make sure that you're not getting a bunch of robots in there.
So in listening to you, one would think that this is awesome. You got these mothers who... thousands or hundreds, I don't know how many you have, but
it's a lot.
It's a lot that can get on there and talk about everything from their lazy husband to their kid that's acting out, arching his back, going, and he's supposed to be doing something or acting out in church. And then you have this other social network of vendors that can come together. From an outsider, it sounds like, well, that's cool, like the world's getting closer. But do you think there's things contrary to that Facebook has isolated people more than brought people together?
Definitely.
I'm just wondering, somebody like you who has a bird's eye view of the whole thing, do you think people are more isolated or do you think they're more connected because of social media?
Like social media can definitely bring people together, but I think sometimes there's a disconnect. So when we started these online groups, it was great to have that online resource, but the ultimate goal was for people to find their people and get together in person, because I think people really need human interaction. And so social media, I think, also gives people a place to isolate and feel like they're still interacting, which I don't know how healthy that is either. You know, like, it's not real. You're just talking on the internet. But so I think people just still need to take it a little step further and still have that human interaction. Social media is good. It's great.
But I don't know that that's happening. I think there's something missing from online relationships compared to face-to-face. Like, even when COVID hit, and it has a little bit to do, but, like, I never liked selling over Zoom and all that. And I know it was very popular, and we had board meetings over Zoom, and I just didn't think they were as productive. I mean, I would much rather, you know, if you had to wear a mask, but go and be in the same environment. Like, interviews, like, with you coming in here, and we just... met you today, but you know, we could have done this over the phone. We could have done it. But I don't like that because I think I feel like I know you better now just in the 20 minutes.
It's just more personal.
It is. I think I missed what you were saying. You say that, do you think online relationships promote face-to-face? What were you saying? I think I missed that.
That was our ultimate goal when we created like the first Mommy AF Facebook group was to get, we would do events like mom friend speed dating events. So people would come and meet each other.
All right. And has that worked? Some people are more comfortable sitting in their basement.
Definitely. It works for some people. And some people are like, I have zero interest in going to that event, but I would love to hear about it when it's over. And that's fine.
Yeah. I think that's cool that you have all this online. Say, look, we're going to have an event and come and socially interact. I think that's important. And that isolation, I think, is not a good place to be.
Yeah, we started doing the first year we opened, we did a mom prom. So we invited all the moms out to come out and get dressed up. We had a DJ and threw out a big event. And then all the guys got jealous. So now we start doing an adult prom every year for the husbands too. In April, it's a big event, 600 people. We pick a local charity and we raise money for them and just dance the night away with 600 strangers.
Now, how did somebody join? That sounds interesting. How do you join your group? Like, do we just go to...
So it really depends on which events that you're trying to be part of. So there's the mom group, obviously, is just for moms, the mommy AF. But there's also a dad AF and a married AF and a...
Really?
What else is there? There's like 75 different groups because the goal was for people to find their people. It's a lot to manage.
That's a lot to manage. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I got to thank one of our sponsors, the bank. Do you monetize that? I want to hear about that.
No.
Okay, maybe I don't want to hear about that.
Yeah, maybe I need a businessy person to tell me about that.
I can help you with that. All right, we're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. All right, welcome back, everyone. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and I'm back with Andrea Fanta, who's a very... interesting, unique entrepreneur. And what she has done, given the times we live in, is really built two very strong organizations. One is called kind of Mommy AF, but it's where mothers can go and just talk to each other, network each other, ask questions about everything from cooking to raising kids to lazy husbands, just a number of things. And then she's got another business, again, done through the social media, that talks about how if you're making something at home and you want to sell it, Andre can help you with that. She's got a retail space in Bay Park Square that's open the same hours as Kohl's or any other store. And she's got 100 vendors that send her product or drop product off. And then she manages the store and sells it and gives them an outlet to have people come in and touch and feel it versus everything being online. And that is interesting. I want to just talk to you about where society, we talked a little bit about, are people more isolated or closer together? Are they seeing each other? Because from a guy like me that came out of the belly-to-belly cell, as they used to call it, you know, that's all I did was travel. And, you know, I'd leave Sunday night and just, you know, come back Friday and just...
That's exhausting.
But it was... Yeah, I'd been everywhere. I traveled quite a bit. But I really got to know my customers, not just what they bought. And you know, I understand their inventory and all that, but I really got to know them. Like baseball or if their kids were doing and stuff like that. So anyway, it was cool.
That stuff matters.
I think it does too.
That's why a lot of my real estate relationships, even though I haven't done real estate for 5 years, that's how I know a lot of people that I know.
Right.
It's because I threw the Christmas parties.
Right.
And I got them gifts with new dog tags with their dog's name on it with their new address.
You know,
it's like that's personal things that people care about.
And I guess you can do that through social media, but there's really nothing like going and handing them the gift to their dog.
Exactly.
That would mean a lot to me, by the way.
Anyway,
I'm a huge dog lover. But hey, before we get into this next segment, I want to ask some questions here I want to go through. I want to thank, we have a couple of sponsors here, and I don't know where you bank, and there's a lot of great banks, but one of my favorites is Nicolet Bank. They're here in Green Bay. They started in 2002, And you just don't hear about people just starting banks. You always think about, you know, Associated or these, you know, the banks that have been around forever. And these two young guys, Bob Atwell and Mike Daniels, just said, look, we're going to start a bank. We're going to be more community focused and we're going to hire the right people that are engaged in the community. And they built that. And it's a huge bank now. They just received the Free Enterprise Award last week, from the Rotary.
Very cool.
So it was a great banquet, a great event. So, but you know, their values have been consistent. And Bob got up there when he got the award and just talked about it, how, you know, being real and, you know, just being local in the community and, being fair and, they've just done that for, 24 years now? It's 25 years, I guess, that they've been there. And again, very successful. And they've just done what they said they were going to do. And, you know, they do everything. They do car loans, student loans, obviously houses. But my experience with them is, you know, they're good business. Because business is tough. Mm-hmm. You know, banks are good to you when things are good.
Right, yeah, when you're bringing money into them, yeah, they like good. You.
Then they got to sit down and really help you out. And they don't give up on you. And Nicolay's like, look, we got to work this out. And they do. So I just want to, and they are so charitable. I work at the new community shelter and they're very generous to us and so many things. I mean, you see Nicolay's name everywhere.
Yes. That's
the reason they're so successful is that they just give so much to the community and love them as a bank. So it's just NicolayBank.com. If you want to check them out, they got, you know, wealth management department. And like I said, all sorts of different people working in different aspects of your life to help you get the best deal that fits you, your lifestyle the best. So yeah, give them a call. So I mean, thank Nicolay Bank. Hey, so we're talking, business is built a lot on social media, a lot. Your mother's group and even your retail business is done through the like the internet and through social media. But do you worry about, like, you see it all? Do you worry about where society is heading, or do you think we're heading in a good direction?
I think it depends on who you hang around with and what their perspectives are, because what I see a lot right now, and I'm probably pretty guilty of it too, is I think as a society, we enjoy a good echo chamber and we tend to find the people who agree with what we agree with and stick with them. And I think it's important to not lose the ability to listen to different perspectives, because things don't change if you just stay the same, right? So I think as a society, like, I do think there are a lot of people who are just kind of stuck right now because they don't really know what to do. But I think, I don't know, it takes all kinds of people to make a society work and to grow and evolve.
A diverse society.
So, absolutely, yes. So I think as long as there are still people who are pushing the other people, I think we can still progress.
You make a good point on if people stay in a silo, that's not good. And even when it comes, and I delve into politics, but if somebody just watches one station and reads one journal, that's not healthy. I have a brother like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, man, you just got to pick up, switch to channel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really
Yeah.
But yeah, that worries me a little bit. And I think people, even on social media, you know, they'll get into something and they just feed more into that subject matter.
Yeah.
Then, like, the algorithms know what you're looking at, and they just feed you more of the same.
And you would never say that to a person in real life, the things that you see people type online.
Oh, yeah.
When they get in those arguments, if I wouldn't say it to you, your face, I'm not going to sit there and waste my time typing it to you.
Right. And that's why I kind of like the face-to-face.
Yeah.
Well, some people say some things that are very
right?
Hurtful.
You know, I'm pretty honest, but...
Do you think that the younger generation, and you said you have kids, and they're becoming more community-minded or more disconnected?
I think there's some of both. I do see, like, my kids love to be on their phones, and if we let them, that's where they'll just sit.
Right.
And I get it, because you can find everything you need on your phone now, right? Like, you can literally talk to your friends, you can order dinner, you can order your groceries. Like, there's not much you can't do from your phone. So I understand the appeal of it. But I do think that a lot of the kids, like my kids especially, I work from home, my husband works from home, they get bored sometimes. We're like, let's go out and do something. And I'm not a go out and do something kind of person. I like to be home. But it is good for me to see my kids still wanting to go out and be people. Oh, like, yeah. They're not completely wanting to just isolate. So I think it's easier to isolate for sure. So that's the big part of...
Yeah, I'm working on a program. I want to get more youth to volunteer. I think that's healthy. It's good for the soul to volunteer. It
Definitely.
Just is. Because you go home and it's like, okay, like I feel good. I haven't felt this good in a while.
A little bit of gratitude.
Right. It's
yeah.
like, you know, but I also think if we can come up with a program where we need high school volunteers, I think it gives them a chance to meet kids. Your kids are homeschooled, but you know, sometimes schools are a little cloistered, you know, and I mm-hmm. think it's like my kids were lifeguards. And what was good about that was that there were kids from East, West, Preble, and it was cool. They met friends
sure.
that they would have never, ever met
yeah.
had they not been a lifeguard for the city of Green Bay. That's
right.
what they did. And I think those volunteers, like I said, I work at a homeless shelter. And when we have kids serve community meals, that's pretty cool. Because they're like, where do you go to school? And you know, as long as they're all within, you know, sophomores, juniors,
sure.
you know, you don't want to get young kids with old kids.
Yeah, right.
You know, creepy. I kind of want to... I'm not sure I got the answer on that, but you think younger generations are becoming more community-minded or more disconnected? I mean, your kids are becoming more community-minded. That's because you're making them become
community-minded. Yeah, and I think that's a big part of it is your kids, you are the biggest example your kids are going to see.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So if you also are sitting there on your computer or your phone all day and you're not doing something to get involved with the community, your kids aren't seeing that. They're learning it from your example. So even if we as adults don't feel like going or like going to the farmer's market or going and doing that social activity, I think it's good for your kids to see you do it even if you don't feel like doing it and having that discipline to just make yourself leave the house.
That is great advice. And kids, especially younger kids, but they're going to do what their parents do. And
yeah.
they need to see you going, like you said, the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Church, work in the church picnic, whatever
right.
you're going to do. I mean,
and yeah, we homeschool, so they don't really do have a lot of interaction, but we utilize the store a lot. We have a Pokemon club and a book club and a bunch
cool.
of different groups where people from all over the place come and get together and talk and they have their little social circles.
So, I mean, you're really an interesting person because your life is built around social media.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you homeschool your kids. Kind of the opposite of me, quite honestly. You
sure.
know, I mean, I was in schools and social media is not a huge part of my life. But do you think this technology is bringing humanity closer together or separating us?
I think it has the ability to do both, but I see it definitely, the way I use it anyway, bringing us closer together. Because there are so many people that I meet through these online communities that I never would have met before. You know, there's because, you know, it stinks to go through a struggle, but because I struggled with this and I posted it here in this community, people from like our mom's group isn't just Green Bay, it's an international group. So there'll be people from California and New York commenting on the post.
Really?
Because things are different cultures in different states even, you know. So this is how we do things here. This is how it's helpful to have those outside perspectives. And I think it helps bring us a little bit closer together.
So you homeschool your kids, you are in, I'm going to say high tech in terms of that's you do a lot through social media. What kind of world do you hope your children grow up in? I mean, some people want to go back to the one room schoolhouse. That ain't going to happen.
Nope.
Like, what do you see someone from, because you got a really interesting perspective on things. Like, how do you want your kids to grow up? When you're homeschooled, that was a big move on your part.
Yeah, and
that's a lot of work.
Probably 3 years ago we started doing homeschool.
Yeah.
And we do, so it's partially homeschool, and then we also utilize an online charter school.
Right.
So they actually have teachers that they talk to throughout the week.
Oh, okay.
Which
okay.
is helpful, because I'm not good at math, but... I got lost track of your question.
It was like, what kind of world do you want them to grow
oh, yeah.
up in? I mean,
yeah.
we're kind of like, people, sometimes my wife and I talk about like, we're glad we're not raising kids today.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's a lot of cool things kids could do today. Kids
Definitely.
Travel a lot more than they did when I was a kid, you know, and there's just a lot of cool stuff that can happen. But I'm just curious as a mother and someone who runs a mother's group with 1,000 people that tune in, what kind of world do you want your kids to grow up in?
I want my kids to grow up in a world where people can just be who they are. Because I think if everybody just had confidence, I think a lot of things boil back down to that. Everybody is trying to impress somebody else with what they're wearing or their car that they bought or whatever it is. And I really am focused on making sure my kids know that they are cool. Like, you are my kid. Like, you have pink hair. You like to swim. You like Pokemon. You're cool. It doesn't matter if somebody else thinks that that's nerdy. That's not your person.
Right.
So I think,
That's great advice.
Yeah. So just encouraging people to find their people and be who you are, because that's how you attract your people.
All right. Yeah, you're obviously a great mother to instill it in kids that it's cool to be you.
And it's hard when they're surrounded by other people who, you know,
it's with different pressures.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but then we're going to come back here. And, you know, we don't know each other that well. We actually just met today, but I'm going to hit you up about your political ambitions.
Oh, boy.
I think it's interesting because I worry sometimes of who's in office, and I just think, you know, diversity is strong there, and you obviously have a different perspective than some other people, and I want to talk to you a little bit about what you look for. So we're going to be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. And I'm really enjoying our conversation here because I think we're two different people. I mean, we grew up in two different times. You, social media, built two huge businesses around social media. And, you know, not like I sold Kirby vacuum cleaners, but I was kind of a door-to-door guy, you know, unlike you. But and you see the world from, like I said, a different perspective than some of us. You are very open to people being who they want to be. I think that's cool. Even though we live in this politically divided time where, you know, people got to be in one box or another, you seem to be more open to whatever the individual wants.
Yeah. I definitely get accused of being liberal AF, and I'm like fairly liberal, but I definitely think that we only hear what media wants us to hear. So I think that it's important to look at a person and have a conversation with a person.
Right.
And talk to them about what they think about something versus just throwing them into a box.
And I think the media, and I know some of them are trying, but that's why we have this Lean Local where we can kind of dig in a little bit deeper. But sometimes they'll also paint homeless people in a box, and I work with those people every day, and they're real people.
Absolutely.
And they have the same goals you do and I do, and they're not lazy and they're not on the take, and they just had they've had some bad things happen in their life.
Yeah.
And people always say, what's the common thread with homelessness? And, you know, is it alcohol? And it's that's a problem. I mean, 70% of our people, we have 116 people that live at our place, and 70% of them are in some kind of treatment, which and you can look at the reasons for that, but the 100% is their childhood, I think.
It's absolutely. Most people think they're not homeless because they're an alcoholic.
No.
Usually that part comes after. There's you got to look at the underlying, what got you there.
And what got them there, it's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't really dwell on that.
But they're still there.
But it's there. But it's like some of that's just through no fault of their own, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So you're born and raised here. You got a pretty good pulse on the community. Do you think of parlaying some of your experiences into a political run for office, city council, county board, assembly, or I don't know?
I have been asked that before.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Yeah. I have a bit of a potty mouth, and I'm not always good at biting my tongue when I'm in difficult conversations where I have strong opinions. So it's never really been on my radar. I think the more things keep changing, and I guess the more outrage there is within our community, people often look to me like, well, what are you going to do about it? Because I run all these things. And that feels like a lot of pressure sometimes. But I think even without running for office, we do a lot of stuff to help our community in ways that I hope, I wish that more politicians would. You know, I'm glad that you're working with the shelter and helping people there. We run, we've got a free community cupboard inside our store. So we have a fridge and a freezer and then a bunch of shelves. Cool. Community comes in, they donate stuff, people come and they grab it whenever they need it. But sometimes people are nervous about coming in to grab stuff because they're afraid they're going to get dirty looks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it happens, you know? Like,
sure does.
So it's hard to see stuff like that and not want to step in and make big change. But I also don't really ever know where to start with that either.
Well, with the social needs of Greater Green Bay, and we have them. I mean, people who say we don't, they just talk about living in a, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we do, and it's on everything. But do you think the businesses in Green Bay are doing enough?
I think there are a lot of businesses who are putting forth a little effort. I just think there's, individually, it's hard. As one small business owner, I do a few things, right? But I can only do so many things. I can't spread myself completely thin. But I think that if more business owners were less focused on being in the spotlight and doing their good deed, like posting it on social media, if they're going to do this donation, instead of taking that effort and energy and putting it there, if they collaborated with other small business owners,
right?
I think we could do so many cool things. And I try and I reach out to other small businesses and it's crickets. It's like pulling teeth to get people to even respond to you and say no. Like,
I think sometimes they're a little bit, they might be paranoid too about sure. Like they think they're being scammed. And I don't think
absolutely.
There's a lot of scam. We've had a couple in Green Bay, but nothing major. Tell me, let's talk, you know, we're both living here now and we both care deeply about the community. But tell me what Green Bay does well right now and what Green Bay could do better.
I think, Green Bay, I think, is a very diverse place. We've got a lot of really cool things, and I think that it's growing. I do see a lot more like small businesses popping up. Unfortunately, I see them closing almost just as quickly. Oh. So I think Green Bay needs more resources for small businesses, because I think everybody's like, shop small, support local, but they don't actually do it, or they don't help spread the word. People don't understand that, like, running a small business, you need customers every day. So if somebody's coming in to shop for their mom's birthday, that's great. But also come in for your dad's birthday and for Mother's Day and for Christmas, or we can't stay open, you know? So I think, I've got to sneeze.
All right, you can do that while I come up with another question
here. it got stuck.
But so I would agree that I don't think people, okay, so Green Bay has some small businesses, but like you said, there's a lot of them that open, but there's a lot of them that close. And the reason they close is, I've talked to some people, nobody came in for like 2 days. I mean, the bills are there every day.
They are, yeah. And I think it's important, and that's the part of the collaboration. And that's why having 100 small businesses within our store is helpful. We do, like, in the slower months when people aren't spending money, some of the artists will come in and they'll host a class. So they'll charge a ticket price for that class. So you have something coming in, but it's still work to get that. You know, it's marketing that class, and it's like pulling teeth sometimes.
So do you think, though, Green Bay, and do you think in 10 years we're going to be, tell me what you think we're going to look like in 10 years?
That is a great question.
Give me a great answer.
I don't know if I've even thought that far ahead.
It goes quick.
Right? Yeah, it does. Oof, it does.
It's unbelievable.
I think that Green Bay is headed in the right direction. I think we've got a lot more. We've got a lot of diversity. We've got a lot of places for people to gather and collaborate. So I think Green Bay is doing that really well. I'm hoping that in 10 years, there's a lot more smaller organizations that have joined forces to not get rid of Walmart, but, you know, like big organizations like that, they don't know. They don't sponsor your kid's soccer team, right?
All right. Cool. All right. We're out of time.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.